Today I have the privilege of helping us prepare for communion by giving the communion devotional today. So please open with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. And we'll be reading one short verse, verse 44. Just before the verse 44, it says, "He who has ears, let him hear. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Please pray with me. Lord, today we are singing about your coming and about the joy we have in you. Lord, today I pray that you would be magnified and lifted up and honored as we look into your word. And Lord, may we not just have you as Savior and Lord in our heart, but that truly you would be our treasure. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today, I entitled this devotion, "The Search is Over," and I realized I put that title on before we found our head coach this week, and so I just want to let you know there is no, that happened to be a coincidence, but I kind of thought, you know, this morning, I was like, that kind of has a nice ring to it, "The Search is Over," we found our coach, but much more than that, all of us know what it's like to search for something. There's various reasons why we search for things that we need, things that we want. We search for friends. We search for companionship. We try to search for success. And just to give you a goofy example, I didn't run this by my wife, but I'm going to pay for it possibly. But I had no idea how hard it was to search for some things. For instance, curtains. I learned when I got married, on our list was to find curtains. And I, don't worry, Richard, you told me to not do this, you know, without asking permission, but I can see it's okay. But but I walked into Bed Bath & Beyond on our list, curtains, and I thought, curtains, that's easy. I see them right there in the curtain section. I point, blue, that looks great. There's curtains. But the search, it was not over. I learned we needed to look at all of the curtains in that store. And not just that store, we needed to search the curtains in all of the stores in the mall, too. And so the search was more complex than I thought it would be. And certainly now in this Christmas season, a majority of us are in search for Christmas gifts. Possibly you're thinking, what do I need for my friends? What can I get for my kids? I remember years back, I think when I was a kid, that there was a Christmas search of a crisis for Tickle Me Elmos. I don't know if you remember. I didn't understand why this was so important, but Tickle Me Elmos were the hot commodity, and people were fighting each other in the stores. They wanted a Tickle Me Elmo, and they were buying them in droves and reselling them for outrageous prices on eBay for the Tickle Me Elmo. But in all seriousness, the Christmas season is about the long-awaited search for Christ, the coming Messiah. Going back to the Old Testament, as we were reading this morning, as Richard was reading in our call to worship, Scriptures foretold the coming Messiah, the one who would come from the line of David, who would fulfill all of the prophecy, the one whose kingdom would never come to an end. And that's why we sing all of the songs in this Advent season, the Christmas songs that remind us of the great joy and the treasure that we have in the arrival of our long-awaited Savior, Jesus Christ. And the people of God, they were searching and inquiring of their Messiah. We read of the wise men coming from the east, inquiring to find the long-awaited Messiah. And many found him, and that's why we are here. We are the church, and many didn't see that it was him, and Jesus recalls these accounts, or we're recalled of these accounts when Jesus comes across the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Jesus Christ truly is our awaited treasure. But here's the problem. And as I was praying about this week, here's my problem. It's that the human heart has a built-in tendency to keep the search going beyond Jesus Christ. Jesus has come. He's revealed himself. He did the miracles. He revealed who he was, the Son of God, the one come who would take away our sins. He proved it. He was raised from the dead. He conquered sin and death. And yet we forget that so easily. And so let me give you an illustration. I think of my cell phone. When I go to Colorado every summer, we'll go for a week or two and visit my family. When I leave, it's a weird part of the mountains, and I leave my phone just on the regular way it is, it stays in search mode, and it won't find the Wi-Fi that's readily available there. It keeps searching, and it's really frustrating when I forget this, because I'll look at my phone an hour or two later, and the battery that's supposed to last a day or two is completely dead. I'm left with 5%, and I can't use it anymore. In our hearts, we can function just like that. We've given our lives to Jesus Christ, many of us in this room, and that's why we preach week in, week out, so that if we haven't, we will, and those who have will continue to lay their lives down for Christ. We come and we worship him, and then we set foot out of this place, and our hearts forget that we've already been given every spiritual blessing in Christ, that in Christ we have our yes in him, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, who will do more than we can ask, imagine. We easily forget, and our hearts go into search mode. And for us, it practically looks different for each one of us. And to go back to this cell phone, it has a timer on right now, which is good news for you, so I don't go too long. But this phone, for so many of us, and I admit for me as well, I go into search mode. Facebook, what is newsfeed telling me today? Wait, why is an hour gone past and I'm still searching for Facebook? What am I searching for? Some of you may spend hours on your phone or social media or whatever, trying to find something to fill your heart with. A few more examples, like such as online shopping in this season. We're searching for something to fill our hearts, the right outfit, the right thing. And we have the thing, and we just need a new thing for our hearts to be happy. I don't mean to sound crass, but it's the same exact thing for internet pornography, which the statistics are staggering of how many men struggle with this. Even men in the church, more than half the statistics say, putting in searches, searching for a treasure to fill your heart. Just beyond technology, our hearts become filled with angst and look for all kinds of things to make us feel better. Let me just list a few more things. We're all included in this. And we tell ourselves, I'll be okay as soon as the next season rolls around and I'll be making some more money. I'll be happy as soon as I'm not alone anymore and I find someone to marry. As soon as I find the one, I'll be happy. Or when I get that promotion that I've been waiting for, or when school is finally over and I will graduate, then I'll be all right. Or I'll be content as soon as I lose some weight. I've been meaning to do that, and this year I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to get in better shape, and I'll be happy as soon as my kids start behaving or they start to treat me with some respect. Even in full-time ministry, I have these same temptations. I'll be okay as long as all the kids show up to youth group, or as long as I'm getting the praise and approval of the people around me that I'm doing an okay job. So don't tell me after the service, great sermon. So it will feed into my sinful tendency. I don't need that. I have Jesus already. So here's a really practical question I want you to ask yourselves this morning. How you can know if in your heart you are searching for these vain idols, these idols Pastor Richard's been preaching about week in and week out in the book of Judges. It's when your attitude, often characterized by frustration and anger, it's when that your attitude basically says, I'll be okay if this. If I have these things, if I find someone, if I get married, if I can become popular, if I get more friends, if I get to that greener grass on the other side, then I'll be okay. If you're continually asking yourself, and I'm telling you that every day it's a temptation for us. We're not specifically saying, I'll be okay if, but the searches, the things our hearts long for are a symptom revealing to us this greater heart disease that we have. And so the solution that I'm excited to tell you this morning is the gospel. The search is over. Every one of you have a different season in your life right now. You may feel really content for all of the right reasons, and you may be walking with God and not experiencing this. Or maybe you're having circumstances beyond your control happening to you that are not because you've been sinful, but our tendency is to say, I'll be okay as soon as that thorn from my side is removed. I'll be okay. I'm not okay with it. So here's the remedy. Verse 44, as we just read, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And here it is. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. For him, the search was over. In fact, the other things he had probably searched for and the other treasures he stored up, he decided to trade them all for this greater treasure. And the answer for us is in this response. Will you not only receive him as Lord and Savior, but as your treasure? I remember John Piper saying that one day. Is Christ your treasure? And it's the same thing that we have to ask ourselves every day. Is he our treasure? Growing up in a church where there was a youth ministry and there were summer camps and kids going to the altar to pray to receive Christ, and as some of them turned out to only have gone up to pray for their get out of hell free card, so to speak, there was no desire in their heart to truly have Jesus be their treasure, to love him, to embrace him, to adore him, as we're singing about this morning. So I want to read you a quote from one of my favorite musician worship leaders, Shane Bernard. He said, in Christ, I am happy, so long as I remembered that I've stumbled on a treasure in a field. And he said this, if I have Jesus, I have everything. And if I have everything, there's no longer anything I'm looking for. And if there's no longer anything I'm looking for, I'm free to love and serve with no return. My search has come to an end. And in his strength, I can say today, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So I want you to ask yourself, Has the search for the other things, has it left you happy? I know that the answer for myself is no, it doesn't make me happy. If I get in my head, I need this, I really need this, then you've had it, and a month later you're thinking, I'm not really happier. And don't get me wrong, I'm not calling you to be passive in every aspect of your life. I had to pursue my wife. I sought after her. You have to put in job applications and seek after a job. But to seek after these things as the treasure of your heart is what I'm talking about, is a cancer to your soul. And the gospel is so freeing. And as Shane Bernard also pointed out, we need to get into God's word and remind ourselves of our reward daily. To remember that today, our heart may fail, but God is the strength of our hearts and our portion forever, as it says in Psalm 73:26. To see the beautiful smile of God, not because of our perfect service, not because of the treasures that we've sought after, but because of his perfect sacrifice, to daily ask for the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And so I don't have the time today to recount to you all of the blessings of Christ, but for instance, what else is there, friends? What can man do to us, as it says in Romans 8? If God is for us, he, as it says in Romans 8:32, he who has given his son Jesus for us, what will he withhold from you that is good, since he's already given the Lord his one and only son to us? What can hold a candle to the fact that in Christ we are chosen before the foundation of the world, that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, that we've been redeemed through his blood, forgiven for all of our sins, grace lavished upon us. We've been given the righteousness of God. And here's some really good news. The righteousness of God, it doesn't feel near because we're very aware of our sinful tendency, our sinful flesh. But right now, I tell you the truth, you will never be, for those of us in Christ, you will never be any more righteous in all of eternity than you are right now. I'm not trying to sound confusing when I say that, but our righteousness does not increase. He has placed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to the full measure upon us. Yes, we grow in our sanctification. We grow in becoming into his likeness, growing in Christ. But he has placed his righteousness upon you. And when we embrace this as our treasure, the search is over. I'm not saying it's wrong to be on Facebook. I'm not saying it's wrong to buy Christmas presents. But our heart can finally rest in Christ. And so today, as we come to the table, you might have angst. You might have these things I've been describing, these searches in your life. And the Lord says boldly to you, come, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Come to the table today. Place your trust in him. Come and eat. Come and eat that which you cannot buy, as it says in Isaiah 55.